Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 25. And these are the words of our God. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were from the beginning, were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, it seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were in prayer outside at the hour of the incense offering. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. Zechariah was troubled when he saw the angel, and fear gripped him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your petition has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know this for certain? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years." The angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time." The people were waiting for Zechariah and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, "This is the way the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked with favor upon me, to take away my disgrace among men." And that's God's word. And so here we begin the last of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And the gospel of Luke here, it's part one. If you remember the book of Acts, it's the book of Luke is part one, with the book of Acts, which would be part two, where the Lord, through Luke, is writing to Theophilus, as you see it in verse 3. And something interesting about Luke and how he writes, somewhat different than the other gospel writers, is that he is typically very specific with many details. And so it says, verse 4, "so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught." And he says he writes it in consecutive order. And so he's very specific, and that's telling of Luke and how he writes, which is a good reason why he's also the author of the book of Acts, which is the history of the early church. He writes like a historian. He writes the details down. And then the rest of the passage through verse 25 deals with the prophecy and history of the conception of John the Baptizer. And he is the one who came to prepare the way in an immediate sense for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Of course, you have before him all the other prophets who came and prophesied of his coming. But him, John, in the immediate sense, is to come and prepare the way for Jesus. And John, we see verse 6, comes from a godly family, but his parents at that time had no children. Elizabeth was barren, so she could not conceive, could not bear children. And then also it says that they were advanced in age, and so presumably they were too old to bear children. And so we kind of think back to the time of Abraham and Sarah, and when they could not bear children and what happened with them. And so his, it says here that his father was a priest, and as a priest he was chosen by lot to go into the temple. That's the temple in Jerusalem. And he went into, not the Holy of Holies, he wasn't the high priest, but he went into the holy place as he was supposed to do, and he used to prepare the things and do the altar of incense, and an angel of the Lord, that is Gabriel, met him, which his name Gabriel means power of God or mighty one of God. He appeared to him and tells him that they will have a son, and they're to name him John. You see verse 17, it says, "It is he who will go as a forerunner before him," that is Jesus, "before Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous, so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord," prepared for Jesus to come. And as it said, in the spirit and power of Elijah, John is often characterized in how he's described in the Gospels. He his appearance and how he speaks and everything looks and reminds us of Elijah. And so that's a reminder of what the prophet taught us there. And then because Zacharias didn't believe, he was made mute. And note, it's not that he didn't believe the angel, he didn't believe the Lord's word that came through the angel. And so, beloved, as we read through the scriptures, we often come across things that to us seem, and to man, seem unbelievable. That we can't believe that. Well, there's no way that's going to happen. Or there's no way that that's true. Or there's no way that's true of me. And yet we're called to believe based on it, the very fact that it's the Word of God. If God says it, it is true. And let every man be found a liar. And so how much Zechariah should have believed the angel speaking the Word of the Lord, and how much more should we believe our God who speaks to us clearly in His Word, who has shown us the promises and the coming of Christ? Or past that time, we should believe even more so than Zechariah did with the angel. And so let us not be faithless. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We thank You that You are the God of truth. You are infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in Your truth, in Your goodness, that You have sent Your Son. He, not grasping at heaven, not grasping at being God, but He became, being God, became man, and so is, even now, God and man, in two distinct natures and one person forever. And He is the same in substance and equal in power and glory with You, Father. And that we cannot deny. If we denied those truths, we would be denying You, we'd be blaspheming Your name, and we'd be no believer in Christ. Now, Father, we're thankful that You have given Him and sent Him, that He lived a perfect, righteous life for us. We're thankful that as we'll go through the Gospel of Luke and as we've gone through the other Gospels, we'll see John and how he prepared the way for Jesus and was crying out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And how Your Son took away our sin through His righteousness and through His passive righteousness when He died on the cross. and poured out and shed his blood for our sins, that we would be cleansed of those sins. We're thankful that you're a God who calls us to yourself. You've brought us to yourself, and you speak to us through your word, just as you spoke to Zechariah. And now we have had the mystery revealed to us more clearly than any who have gone before us and that are referred to in the Old Testament. We thought about already Abraham, and here we think of Zechariah and Elizabeth, that you've revealed the things of you and your Son, the Christ, our Savior, to us more so than even them. And so how much more should we believe as we see that your word, which we read and hear, does not contradict itself in all these words, which is in man's sight impossible. How a book, how your word, this with these many words, would not be able to, could not err and does not err. We praise you that your word is inerrant and infallible. It comes from you, and it is applicable to us in every part of these scriptures, applicable to all of our life, and is the rule of our faith and practice. And so, Father, we ask that you would bless your people today and give us faith to believe, not that we would not have doubting minds and doubting hearts, not be hard-hearted, but that as we hear your word, we would receive it with faith and love and hope. And all the promises you've made, even in the second coming of Christ Jesus, which we look forward to now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.